So why do we care about sequencing? So as we already talked about patients living longer, they will have multiple relapses during the course of the disease. And we need to do this with a better understanding of the biology of the disease as well as risk. And we have increasing drug combinations and choices with multiple phase 3 trials showing a variety of different triplets that can be used in patients with disease relapse. And obviously the disease is very heterogeneous. No two patients are alike. So as we sequence therapies, we need to figure out how we can adapt the treatment to the individual patient. And we need to do it in such a fashion that we optimize the efficacy and maximize the benefit of each of these regimens while still maintaining very limited toxicity for these drugs. So when we talk about the biology of the disease, what we know is that when patients get sequential therapies, their duration of response and the depth of response continue to decrease with each subsequent therapy. And part of this is explained by the clonal evolution that we see. There are clones that are present in very small numbers at the time of diagnosis, which under the pressure of therapy grows and some of the original clones disappear. And the clone that finally leads to the patient's death may have been a very minor clone at the beginning. Again, highlighting the importance of clonal evolution, which may in fact impact how we select therapy and the combinations particularly.
From a sort of a macro perspective, when I talk to myeloma investigators, there's obviously a very strong feeling in terms of upfront treatment to drive the tumor burden down as low as possible. There's a belief, I think, fueled by a lot of data that in the long run, that really impacts survival. What about in the relapse setting, particularly early versus late relapse? Same concept, maximal driving down tumor burden. Is that more important like in first relapse than say fourth relapse?
Yeah, I think it's important, especially in the first relapse, because the outcome from the first relapse right now is probably better than the outcome from the newly diagnosed myeloma 10 years ago. So the way I would look at the first relapse or the second relapse is second and third chance at trying to maximize the benefit of the therapies that you have. Now, once you get down to the fourth, fifth line of therapy, especially in somebody who has gone through a lot of drugs in a very short period of time, indicating that they have a high-risk disease, then I might start thinking more in terms of maintaining more importance to the quality of life and potential toxicities of these therapies. But early on, I really want to try and maximize the benefit, especially by using combinations. So clearly, you know, we have a lot of new treatment options. So we have the old drugs that we still can use. We have novel drugs belonging to the newer classes of drugs like the IMiDs and the proteasome inhibitors. Among the same classes now, we have carfilzomib, ixazomib, and pomalidomide. And then finally, we have totally new classes of drugs like the monoclonal antibodies, the HDAC inhibitor, and also some of the newer drugs like venetoclax that is coming through clinical trials.
I guess you'd want to add CAR-T therapy to that list.
Absolutely, yes. The immune therapy arena is just exploding as we speak. And we have the CAR T cells, which seems to be very promising based on some of the recent data. We also have some of the BiTE platforms, which also makes use of the patient's immune system. So one of the things that we know about myeloma, even from the diagnosis, but even particularly at the time of relapse, is that the disease can be very heterogeneous. We know there are some patients where the biochemical relapse may be very slow and does not always warrant start of the new therapy. Patients who may have standard risk disease at the time of diagnosis may evolve to have high risk disease at the time of relapse. Obviously, we need to take into account residual toxicity from prior therapies, the performance status, and also patients' goals and preferences when we decide what particular therapy we're going to use for the patients with relapsed myeloma. Now, the way I look at it, there are some broad principles I think we want to always employ. One key thing about myeloma is the fact that duration of initial response essentially defines the biology of the disease. So we have a lot of high-risk markers, but sometimes patients with high-risk markers also do very well. And patients sometimes without any high-risk markers don't do well at all. Almost like the best litmus test we have is the duration of response to that initial therapy. So somebody who relapses very early or does not respond to primary therapy usually have high-risk biology. The second part, I think, that we want to keep in mind is that we always want to use combinations, preferably a triplet, based on all the data from the phase 3 trials we have seen over the past few years. And at least what I try to do is I should include at least one drug from a class that the patient is non-refractory to into this combination. And obviously, we have to take into account the performance status. These are older patients, often have comorbidities. So even though we want to use a triplet, we may not always be able to use a triplet in a given patient. And sometimes it's a matter of giving a doublet and getting the performance status better so that we can actually change over to a triplet. And I think most of these patients, especially in the earlier relapses, we want to treat them to the maximum response, and we want to keep them on at least one of the drug for long term, as long as they can tolerate it well. So the way, you know, again, when you want to visualize, let's talk about the patient in the first relapse, right? How do the patients reach that first relapse? Either they can be on an injection therapy with a triplet, and they may continue on that therapy till the disease progresses, or they may be on a doublet, especially if the patient's older, and they may or may not continue on maintenance at the time of relapse. And then there is about 30 to 40% of the patients who are transplant eligible who would get a triplet induction, get a transplant, and often are placed on maintenance therapy, and then they relapse. Now, depending upon which path a given patient has taken getting to that first relapse, we can decide how to choose the given therapy for that patient.